ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago without a live studio audience that is studying for midterms. Yes, best of luck and success to my high school daughters who are studying for midterms currently. Wish them much success. We have a powerful, meaningful, incredible message for you this week. Because of the absolutely incredible events coming out of Israel of three incredible hostages, Romy Gonen, Emily Damari, and Doron Steinbrecher, who have been released by the and from the evil, pure evil hands of Hamas. Safe home with their families, their own particular biological families, as well as the family of Israel that has been riding an emotional roller coaster, that has been praying for such a day for over 470 days, 472 as of Monday, since October 7th, for their safe return. And over 400 days since the last hostage deal occurred. So I want to back up a second and give a little introduction to what's happening and what we're going to be doing. So this past Shabbos, we had an incredible Shabbos in the city. It is just remarkable how many young Jewish people, young professionals come out for Shabbos each time. You know, beginning of the week, I'm like, are they going to come this week? You know, very few people signed up, and then boom. By the time Friday night rolls around, we're over 80 people packed and packed to the gills, and then another 40 for lunch. It's just incredible. So we're going to talk a little bit about what I said on the Friday night, because I think that was very germane. And yeah, so thank God. Project 613 is rocking, and just the energy and emotion that is surrounding these days. Anyone who has even the slightest finger on the pulse of what the Jewish people are going through is moved. It's an emotional time. There's, you know, to go through this time and not feel the emotions of families. And okay, so let's set the stage and then we'll talk about what I said Friday night and see what happens. So this hostage deal, that 33 captives will be released, goes like this. It means that 33 are going to be released over a span of 5 to 6 weeks, 42 days. And then for each hostage that is released, there are 30 terrorists, many of them with active blood on their hands, lots of blood on their hands, that are released. And they're not released to the, you know, coast off, you know, Madagascar, off the African coast. You know, they're not released to the South Pole. Many of them are going to be released, some to Gaza, but some back to Judea and Samaria, which is a place that right now is a hotbed of terrorism. And it's not so simple. It's not so simple, you know, to get that ratio is, you know, some people say, well, in the Shalit deal, we got, you know, one guy for 1,000 prisoners. Well, one of those 1,000 prisoners that was released in the Gilad Shalit deal was Yahwa Sinwar, the mastermind of October 7th. So everyone is walking on eggshells, knowing that this is a bad deal. There's also, you can imagine, the conflict within Israel. You have the hostage families that want their family members back at all costs, which is understandable. You have hostage families that are against the deal, saying that they know that they and their children who are held captive would not want such a deal because they know what happens. We're on the hamster wheel of hostage taking, high ransom, and then those people that are redeemed, the Palestinian terrorists that are set free, end up going on to create even more terror acts. So there are a group of hostage parents that say they do not want this type of a deal, and they want all the hostages released at once. And then there are the families of those people who were killed, murdered in cold blood by these terrorists that are being let go free. So depending on which perspective you're coming from, your heart's torn in pieces. We're simultaneously overjoyed for the return. We're tremendous trepidation for what's going to be in the future. Frustration of how we got here in the first place. You know, Israel's like it's a tinderbox. But tonight, Israel, by and large, even those who oppose this deal, are overjoyed for the three hostages that were returned and for their families. And that is pretty much a united front, and a very special thing about the Jewish people, that even though people may oppose the deal, they're still happy for the families who are experiencing joy. All right, so I want to, with that background of all the different voices and dynamics that are going on in Israel right now, I want to share with you some of the words I said Friday night in front of our 80-plus person crowd at our Project 613 Center in downtown Chicago. So I was thinking I wanted to talk about the unity of the Jewish people, and I was speaking to my son-in-law on Friday, Erev Shabbos. It's very nice. He calls and he usually has a Dvar Torah for me. And he said, Abba, he wanted to share the following Dvar Torah with me. And I'll share with you as I basically how I repeated it to and integrated it into what I said on Friday night. So it's an amazing thing that this last week's Torah portion is Parshas Shmos, which is the book of Exodus. Now, the book of Exodus is the book that is called Sefer HaGeula, the book of redemption, which means what? It means that this is the book when the entire Jewish people became hostages. We became captives of Pharaoh. And the story is how God took us out of Egypt, not only physically, through the agency of Moshe and Aaron, and the 10 plagues and the splitting of the sea, but he also took us out spiritually to give us a direction for our lives. And that redemption was not complete until we stood at Mount Sinai 50 days later after we left Egypt. And that's why the holiday of Shavuot follows 50 days after Pesach. After the first day of Pesach. Why? Because it was not enough for God to redeem us physically and let us just go chill out. The whole purpose of redeeming us physically was for us to fulfill our spiritual destiny as the chosen people to receive the Torah on Mount Sinai. Now, I don't want to go into it, but maybe at a future podcast, we could talk about the new life that was given to the hostages and what direction they're going to take. But right now, that's not the topic for now. And so the Jewish people, this is the book. This is the book that we're starting to read. This is nothing new. The non-Jews are the most uncreative people on planet Earth, right? It's most people on planet Earth. They have a few plays in their playbook, and they keep replaying them over and over and over again. It wasn't just Pharaoh had 100 hostages. He had 3 million hostages. And that's the story of us leaving Egypt, the Almighty taking us out of Egypt. And an amazing commentator named Oznayim LaTorah was in the more of a modern, i.e. 1900s, early 1900s, and Rav Sorotskin, And he has an unbelievable comment. He says that really we should be maksik tova. We should have a little bit of gratitude to Pharaoh. It's like, what? You should have gratitude to Pharaoh? Why should we have gratitude to Pharaoh of all the people? Okay. Now, the Torah later on does say that an Egyptian can convert to Judaism in three generations. It has to be like three generations of converts, and then they can join fully the Jewish people. So why? Other nations are not allowed to convert. Why? Because ultimately they hosted us, and there was some good they did for us. But that's not what he meant when he said that. But Sorotkin said that what does it say? Pharaoh was worried the Jewish people were going to come and take over Egypt. Why? He says because he called them an Am. Am Yisrael. The first person to call Am Yisrael, was Pharaoh. And this last week's Torah portion of Shmos of Exodus. Because Pharaoh saw the greatness of the Jewish people when we're united. He was not scared of 3 million individuals, but he knew that we transcend our individuality to love each other as a people. That's who we are. And he was afraid of that. And therefore he enslaved us and oppressed us in order to try to divide us. To play us against each other, to make us hate each other under the pressure of the oppression, because he knew, this people's different from anyone else. This Jewish people, they're a nation. They're truly a people, and when they're united, that's a threat to my rule. And he was right. He was right. And in fact, I was speaking about this right before Shabbos with Rabbi Marcus. Incredible. So blessed to have him helping together run Project 613. And he said, it's amazing. It's just the same thing in Purim. The Purim story, right? Megillas Esther. What was Haman's charge? What was his accusation against the Jewish people to Ahasuerus? He says that Yeshno Amechad, there is a nation that is sleeping. There is, it's a play on words, there's a nation that's sleeping from their responsibility. Mifuzar umfurad bena amim. They are mifuzar, scattered and divided among the nations. It's absolutely incredible. Haman says you don't have to worry about the Jews right now because they're divided. Because they're divided. And that's why this decree is going to work, because Haman also knew our secret sauce, our special sauce of power, of indestructibility, is our unity, is the fact that we are one nation, the fact that we are one family. And so Pharaoh, on the one hand, was worried about us being an a nation together, and Ahasuerus and Haman were willing to pull the trigger on their decree because we were not getting along. And if you look before October 7th, it was the greatest period, 6 months of battling, infighting among the Jewish people since probably the Second Temple period. And everyone from secular, military, political analysts to religious figures, all of them admitted that the disunity and the fighting, the infighting within the Jewish people, it happened to be over legal reform, whatever the topic was, is irrelevant, but it distracted us, it divided us, and Hamas saw that, and they say, now is the time to attack. And sadly, they were very, very, very correct. And so we see that what is this secret sauce? This secret sauce that I'm a part of this great nation of Israel. I am a key contributor. And when we see these videos today coming from Israel of these families reunited, this is not just a Hallmark greeting card. This is not just a nice family reunion. This homecoming, this coming home, is so much more. Everything that's happened since October 7th, 2023, so many lives have been lost. And I forgot to mention at the beginning of the podcast, all of the over 800 soldiers that gave their lives and their families so that the war would be won. And the question mark now of what status it is. But all of these Jews dedicated to bringing these hostages home. These people gave their lives. That's home. That's what it means to be a Jew. To give your life for people you don't even know, but you know them because they're mishpacha. And all the people who have been volunteering since October 7th. And all the people who have been fighting all of the battles, physical, legal, emotional, helping those displaced from the north, from the south. The Jewish people has stood up and taken care of each other, of one another. The millions of dollars of tzedakah that have flowed to Israel for people we don't know, but we know. We don't know them individually, but we know them because they're our brothers and sisters of the Jewish people. What other nation would raise so much money, would put in so much effort? That's who we are. That's the Jewish people. That's our greatness. That's what Pharaoh was scared of. And that is what Achashverosh, Haman, and Hamas saw that we were lacking at that moment and saw that we were vulnerable. And so the message going forward is clear. Jews always disagree. It's our nature. That's okay. That's okay because we're fighting for the truth. But it cannot come at the expense of losing our fundamental view of another Jew as family, as a member of the mishpacha, as a member of the tribe, as a member of the people of Israel. How much do all of us need to work on this? And obviously there are many people with whom we disagree on how to do things. But ultimately to see and to value every single Jew, if we could take that as a take-home lesson from everything that has happened, it would be a tremendous blessing. It would mean that all of the pain and the suffering will not have gone in vain, will not have been in vain. It means that all the efforts and all the people who gave their lives on the battlefield, fighting for their lost brothers and sisters, will not have been in vain. It means that we, the Jewish people, when we come together against a world that is totally standing against us, except, and notably, except for America. And may God bless America for that support. But the rest of the world fundamentally against us. And when we can stand together and make actions, this week a small action to show another Jew that we care about them, that you're mishpacha, that amidst my world in which I'm absorbed in myself, that I'm going to look beyond myself. And we're going to make another Jew's life brighter. And this was so powerful as we went down for Shabbos, which is so exhausting. It's literally exhausting. It's so many. It's feeding an army on not on your home turf. And we felt this message of that we're all in it together, that we're doing this for the Jewish people. We're doing this for Hashem, that his children will love each other and get along. And it was all worth it. And so, if you haven't seen the videos of this family reunion of these three families, and we hope as the days and weeks go on, there'll be many, many more families of reunions. You have to watch them because it's not a superficial coming home. It's a coming home. It's a culmination of all the self-sacrifice of the past 15 months of the Jewish people that say, I'm in. I'm part of the Jewish people and nothing's pulling me away. And that's got to inspire us to say, I'm in. I'm all in with the Jewish people. Welcome home. Welcome home. God bless. Have an amazing week. And God willing, we'll see you again next week with more freed hostages for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.